The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
The Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Pointing you home.
All you need to know about buying, selling, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. Happy Sunday to everybody. I want you to make this a special day. Try out the new Randy's Prime Seafood and Steak Restaurant in Tyson's Corner. Randy, he and his wife, Patsy, they've been business partners for 45 years and married over 50 years. They run a group called the GAR Restaurants Group, Great American Restaurants. They that handle Ozzy's and Carlisle and three locations of Coastal Flats and Sweetwater Tavern, so on. So they've opened Randy's, which is the most upscale of all of their restaurants. If you're looking for a dapper evening, mohair booths, mahogany tables, five paintings from John Gable, who's a fantastic artist from Maine, line the walls there. Great opportunity to get your fillets alongside bone in-cut, king-cut, blackened prime rib, which is available Wednesday through Friday. And they've got Wagyu, if you like that. Definitely lots of great food, and much of it from Patty's cookbook. So try Randy's Prime Seafood and Steak Restaurant.
Honey, get your bopping shoes, put a jukebox and blow the fuse. Well, everybody's hopping, everybody's bopping, bopping up a high school hop. Yeah, bopping up a high school hop, shaking up a high school hop.
Woodward High School might not have an athletic stadium. This is out in Montgomery County. Woodward High School, which feeds 20852, which is considered North Bethesda. Woodward shut down many, many years ago, then reopened again in the Tilden Middle School location. The construction of a new Woodward High School where the old one was over on Old Georgetown Road, that is going to happen probably in about 5 years. But because of the lay of the land, because of the way that the property drops off and rises, it's going to be difficult to put a stadium on site. Now, that means for those kids that go to school there, no track, no football. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a big shift away from sports for a high school. No school has done this yet. Some talk that it might end up being an arts magnet school, which means that they could put a big proscenium theater, which would take, you know, virtually what, a quarter of all the space that a stadium would take. But we'll see what happens. Interesting. See whether this is a start of something new.
Baby!
$132,000 in income. Do you have that much in income? Because that's what's needed to comfortably rent a two-bedroom apartment here in Washington, D.C. Let me repeat this. $132,000 in income is needed to comfortably rent a two-bedroom apartment in D.C. Now, how do you decide what is a comfortable rent for you or for your family? Well, if you consider that you pay 28% of your gross income or less on an average two-bedroom apartment, and you're actually able to do that, then you're not breaking the bank to live. 28% or less is what, on rentals, what you should be thinking about. So if you make $60,000 a year, 28% of that would be roughly $16,800. Divide that by 12 months in the year means $1,400 in a monthly rent check. If you're paying out more than 28%, it's a burden. It's cost burdening is what it's called. And that's what renters are considered cost burdened by rent when they spend more than 30% of their income in rent. You know, the average rent for a two-bedroom condo in D.C. is now $3,100 a month for a two-bedroom condo, or $37,200 a year. That's according to Smart Asset, and they made the calculations using data right from Zillow. And household, therefore, has to make $132,857 in order to pay that $37,200 a year in rent. But let's stop for just a second. Think about rent, because it is like going out to eat at a restaurant with friends. It's like going to the theater. It's like anything you do that you want to spend money on, you have to make the money. Then you have to pay tax on the money, which provides our government's benefits, including defense, including all the features and fine benefits that your state and local government charge. So if you're paying 30% of your income in tax, if you make $10,000, you've got to pay $3,000 in tax. That leaves you $7,000. You're going to pay $2,800 or $3,100 out of that after tax. That just implies that in order to pay $3,100, you've got to make $4,500 to pay $3,100. why not buy a property? Why not buy your own property and get the tax deduction, even if you end up paying $4,000 a month in a condo to buy the property? If you pay $4,000 and let's say the majority of that is taxes and insurance, but let's say $600, $700 is condo fee, which is not tax deductible. So let's say it's $3,400 in interest and taxes, and 30% of your income goes out the door on taxes. 30% of $3,400 a month is roughly, what, $1,000. Even if you're paying $4,000 in a mortgage payment, you probably get a $1,000 reduction on that because of the tax deductibility of the interest and the property taxes. So it's going to end up being about the same or less. Plus, you get the assurance of knowing that you're your own landlord. No one can ask you to leave, and you'll have confidence about where you're going to stay. Now, if you don't want to take that risk, you want to have the flexibility and the freedom to be able to go wherever you want after a year, then don't buy. But if you want to have confidence that the rent's not going to keep going up like it has every stinking year for the last 12 years, you know, think of the burden that most renters are under when they try to renew a lease and the thing jumps dramatically. Hey, the argument is there for purchasing real estate. It's still there. It's actually become more demonstrative as the result of the rents rising the way that they have. For instance, I've got a $525,000 two-level townhouse in Southwest D.C. near the waterfront. It's a three-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath. For $525,000. If you put down $50,000 on that property, you're borrowing $475,000, your monthly mortgage payment for the principal and the interest on that property is going to be right around $2,500 a month for the principal and the interest. The taxes are going to run about $400, okay, to $500 in tax. And then on top of that, you've got your condominium or townhouse HOA fee and the insurance. Where do you end up? Well, guess what? You're at like under $4,000 all in. And it's for three bedrooms. You could sublet space. You can get the tax deductibility on the interest. Think about it. If you haven't thought about buying for a long time, call us today. Let us walk you through a great scenario to help you find a condo, single family, or otherwise. I don't care where you are, Maryland, D.C., or Virginia. We've got excellent buyer agents at the Eric Stewart Group. You can reach us toll-free at 800-900-9104. Again, 800-900-9104 right now. Leave a message for us and we'll have one of our agents give you a call back. Download information like the Buyer Savvy Guide, free guide online at ericstewartgroup.com. We can mail you a copy of that guide if you don't have the internet, or you want a copy of the Market Ready Guide on how to get your home ready to sell, or the Right Sizing Guide on how to downsize. Any of these are all free guides. We'll be happy to send them out by mail, or you can download them at ericstewartgroup.com.
Oh, you like donuts, eh?
Uh-huh.
Well, have all the donuts in the world!
Hey, in Ballston, there's a new, donuts and cafe. It's just the best way to describe Good Company. Veteran-owned Good Company Donuts and Cafe. It's at 672 North Glebe Road. Is celebrating a better-than-expected first few months after opening in April. So this has only been open about 4 months. They've exceeded by 20%. Their expectations in terms of donuts sold. That gives you some sense. They sell about 400 donuts a day and 600 on the weekends. Company's getting good reviews, 4.5 stars out of 5. Looking for donuts and a coffee in the morning, you're in Ballston, try Good Company. You know, the Fair Housing Act and American with Disabilities Act, the Fair Housing Act, on April 9th of 1866, just a year after the Civil War, the 39th U.S. Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which provided rights to freed slaves. It stated the following: all persons within the jurisdiction of the United States shall have the same right in every state and territory to make and enforce contracts, to sue, be parties, give evidence, and to the full and equal benefit of all laws and proceedings for the security of persons and property as is enjoyed by white citizens, and shall be subject to the like punishment, pains, penalties, taxes, licenses, and exactions of every kind, and to no other. What I love about this is that the Fair Housing Act of 1866 reestablished the uniformity of how all parties should be treated within our country, whether you are an elected official or not. Whether you're famous or not, the law should be the same for all people, black, white, yellow, red, doesn't matter. all people should be treated the same. It was 102 years later that the Fair Housing Act of 1968, almost to the date, April 11th, 1968, 102 years after the Civil Rights Act of 1866, that was the first time that the Fair Housing Act, which prohibited discrimination in the sale, rental, and financing of housing, it was really the first time that we created a Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity, HUD, Department of Housing and Urban Development, an organization run by the federal government where there was accountability in case there was prejudice. You know, it's interesting. Prejudice can run in many different directions. I happen to treat everyone the same according to the Civil Rights Act of 1866, the Fair Housing Act of 1968, and every addenda, including the, the acts of 1974, of 1990, all these different acts which spell out for you, you treat everybody the same. It doesn't matter what they look like, how they dress, how much money they look like they have or otherwise. Everybody is treated the same. And that's always been the way I've run my business. Some years ago, this is an interesting story because it will give you a sense of prejudice in an alternative light. I sold a property for a client of mine that I was representing. And my client and I got along great. We had a buyer who came in, she and her husband and their two kids came in and visited the property and were very interested in owning the property. They wrote an offer to purchase on the property. Unfortunately, there was a missed initial on the contract, and that missed initial cost the buyer the ability to purchase the property. Here's how that happens. Buyer makes an offer, submits the offer to the seller. Seller gives a response, responds back with initials and signatures on everything, sends it back. The buyer then has the option of accepting or not accepting the counter that the sellers have sent back. As you go back and forth in negotiations, if one party doesn't initial everything, the contract's not ratified, at which point you could still sell it to somebody else. And this is exactly what happened. Another buyer came in with a higher price, better settlement terms, and my client abandoned the first negotiation and took the second offer. The buyer in the first negotiation happened to be of a different racial profile. And they insisted that there was some prejudice in the decision because of their skin color versus the skin color of the buyers who were coming in. And frankly, they didn't know the skin color of the other people. And if they'd known it, they wouldn't have made the complaint. But here's the thing, is that they got it in their minds, and it's a victim mentality that apparently, as we had conversations about how they felt about things, there had been circumstances where they felt like they weren't treated right previously, and they had decided they would never let that happen again, irregardless of the facts. Well, they called HUD. HUD called me, said, look, we want to interview some of your past clients and find out about you, just because these people are complaining that maybe you were prejudiced against them, which is why they didn't get the house. And I laid the story out and I told them, no, this is what happened. And they said, okay, so let's talk to some of the people you've dealt with. So I referred HUD to the same demographic, same racial profile that was this party that was trying to buy this listing, who was complaining that there might be some prejudice. And I had many, many clients. I've sold over 3,100 houses. And HUD called all these different folks. And they all said, no. This guy, he's so above board. He's so straightforward. He treats everybody the same. That's just not true. I just think that they're upset. So ultimately, HUD came back to the buyers and said, look, there's no evidence in the contract that anything was done wrong. And this guy has got a history that's clean. So unless you want to continue pursuing this, we're going to drop the matter. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And the buyer caused a lot of angst and a lot of sleepless times just talking, through with my family, just talking with HUD, talking with my clients, telling them, hey, you're going to get a call. Just want to make you aware of this. A lot of wasted time when the contract spells out exactly what happened. But, and this is important, and I don't begrudge this, HUD is there for this reason. HUD is there to make sure that prejudice doesn't happen. And it wasn't until 1968 that HUD was created so that buyers and sellers, anybody who felt like maybe there was something that wasn't right, had somebody to go to do an investigation to be sure that they were treated fairly. And I think it's so important that we do provide all parties that level, that chain of command. Like, I'm an agent with a broker above me. Above that is the Virginia, D.C., or Maryland Real Estate Commission. There's always a place for a buyer or seller to go above me in the chain of command if they can't get the help that they need. Interesting, right? More of the Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home, right after this.
V This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Prices in Washington, D.C. have hit a record, and if you look at the 10-year path of the prices in four different charts, you'll see something fascinating. First and foremost, there is a steady rise and fall in prices every year according to the time of year, with prices always achieving their highest sale price in June and their lowest sales price in late fall. Even though the next year prices went further to the upside and there were higher lows and higher highs, so each year there was this climbing up a chart where the average price, median sale price in Washington, D.C. was under $400,000 in July of 2009. It is now exceeds over $600,000. The important thing of what I'm trying to say is that within an overall bull market or an overall bear market, there are times to buy and times to sell, and it's important to catch the right time of the year. If you're thinking of selling, get a copy of the Market Ready Guide. It's a free publication that I've written taking my 32 years of experience in the local real estate market here in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and putting it into one book, including a timing chart which will show you when is the best time to sell and giving you some evidence based on my stories, based upon the National Association of Realtors, based on statistics similar to what I have right here from Urban Turf. I've got information for you that will help you as you're interviewing brokers. Get a free copy of the Market Ready Guide right now. Call toll-free 800-900-9104. There's no cost. Seriously, there's absolutely zero cost. There's no postage, nothing. I just want you to have good information. Even in this, is there are 10 questions you can ask a realtor before you hire one. These are questions based upon my experience, how I would coach my mother on how to interview a realtor. Why not get a copy of that? It's in the Market Ready Guide. Again, toll-free 800-900-9104. Call right now, 800-900-9104, and request a copy of the Market Ready Guide. A natural disaster wipes out your home, and then the buyers come calling. You know, after Hurricane Michael swept through the Florida Panhandle last year, destroying thousands of homes and taking dozens of lives, David Day started looking for a property to buy. The Lakeland, Florida-based real estate investor had been part of a group that flipped hundreds of damaged homes in and around New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina deluged the city back in 2005. He bought flood-damaged homes in Houston after Hurricane Harvey in 2017. The destruction he saw in Panama City, Florida, was worse. Within months of the storm, Mr. Day and his partners began buying houses and apartments in the hurricane zone. He flipped a few of them without doing any work, turning an average profit of $10,000 to $15,000 apiece. He's rebuilding some and has rented out others to contractors who arrived after the storm, certain of work but not of a place to sleep. This guy's a disaster investor, folks. He's a real estate speculator who seeks to profit from hurricanes. Last year had the fourth most natural disasters since 1980 and caused damages in estimate of $1 billion or more, according to the National Centers for Environmental Information. Many of those disasters hit areas in California, as we know about the fires in Florida, or the southeastern U.S. where populations have been increasing and real estate prices rising. So looking for opportunities, I was able to have the privilege of doing some sailing Christmas a few years ago with my family. We went to a beautiful part of the Caribbean near St. Thomas and St. John's in that area. And this was an area that was hit very, very hard by Maria 8 months later in 2017. The devastation there, of course, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that is like the best real estate. I love this particular location. I would love to have property there. So let me check this, you know, against the boards using the hockey analogy for a moment. Let's just stop play. The reality of owning real estate, if you're thinking about buying it and keeping it for the long term as a long-term investor, you have to make sure the money makes sense at the front. If you don't know what I mean, call us at the Eric Stewart Group. Let us work through scenarios on your potential purchase. 800-900-9104. Again, that toll-free number. If you're an investor, you can look at what the property is now, what you need to do to it, what it will cost you to turn the property, commissions, taxes, whatever the transfer fees are associated with it, plus the time to carry the property. Sometimes prices in areas where there have been natural disasters are abnormally depressed because, like, if you think of parts of California, which were devastated by fire, you've destroyed an entire community. So somebody coming in and buying real estate there is buying in the hopes that a community will be rebuilt, right? In the same way, you might own a condominium in a building where the condominium fee is exorbitant. We happen to have a property currently listed, which is a beautiful, beautiful condo, one-bedroom condo in downtown Bethesda. Get this. It's $179,000, has a beautiful view out over the trees. It has a parking spot, and it is three blocks from the metro. You've got all kinds of eateries. You've got all kinds of benefits. You've got the Purple Line going in nearby. So much to be said for $179,000 for a one-bedroom condo. It's a no-brainer to buy it. But the hesitation is on the condo fee. The condo fee is currently $1,000 a month in condo fee. Well, you just heard that. It's like, wow, that's a lot. And we're not talking about high-end, super high-end luxury in terms of condos. It's not a new building. This is a building that's been there for 50 years. So you got to break the condominium fee down to see what's the real value of that $1,000. So it's got an incredible gym. It's got an incredible set of amenities on site, probably all together with the pool and whatnot. It's probably worth $100 a month for those things. You've got a concierge at the front desk all day, all night. You've got a place to check packages. You've got security. That's worth a couple hundred dollars a month. You've got a parking space. That's worth $300 a month. So you're at $600 in total value. But then you have all the utilities included, so gas, water, electric. So maybe that's worth a couple hundred. So maybe out of the $1,000, you could argue there's $800 to $850 in costs that would have had to come out of your pocket to provide the benefits. But there's a difference between what you're being charged at $1,000 and that $800 to $850, because the building has to build up enough reserves to handle changes in the building that have to be made because of the age of the building. And the previous reserves were not built up well over time. Here's the perfect opportunity. Kind of like that disaster scenario, with all of these assessments being added and the increase in the condo fee going from $700 to $1,000 and probably to $1,200 in the next year to 2 years, you've got a pretty tough bullet to bite if you're a buyer and you're looking to buy this to pay that much money out of pocket and none of it's tax deductible. To do that, you've got to make sense of the money. You got to make sense that the price makes, you know, what's your mortgage payment going to be on a $179,000 property? I mean, all in, including taxes and condo fee, it's less than $2,000, which is what you would pay right now. You pay about $2,000 in rent for a one-bedroom apartment. Here you got one with all the amenities for only $179,000. You could kill that debt faster. You know, in other words, $179,000 isn't $400,000 in debt. You have the consistency of the condo fee you have to pay. Making the argument, here's the point, making the argument for you as a buyer to look at that property and say, I may be paying more for the next 3 to 4 years as there are assessments that have to be cared for. But after that's done, that condo fee should drop from $1,200 back to $800, which would make this $179 worth $210 or $220. So there are opportunities to be found in all markets. I've been selling houses for now 32 years. We sold over 130 homes this year. I'm grateful to you that I've had the privilege of that. And we want to invite you at the Eric Stewart Group. We want to invite you to contact us if you're getting ready to sell either in the spring of 2020 or the spring of 2021. Maybe you're moving into a retirement community. You're looking to talk with one of our seniors solutions team members. We want to provide a free market evaluation for your home or a free coffee consultation on the buy side or both. Just call us today. 800-900-9104. Call right now. 800-900-9104. Well, I'm Eric Stewart. That's a wrap for Pointing You Home. Senior Solutions is straight ahead.
The Eric Stewart Show, Pointing You Home on 105.9 FM, WMAL.